Some of you might have heard this story that I've told of being interviewed for a summer chaplaincy. And I was walking around with Jeff around Rex Hospital in Raleigh. And towards the end of the interview, Jeff said, "Where do you find Jesus in here?" And I spoke up like a first-year seminarian that probably thinks they have all the answers. Wish Elijah was here. No, I'm just teasing. Anyway, I said, "Well, you find him with you. And when you go into a hospital room, he's right beside you, walking with you into these places." And Jeff said, "Yeah, okay, I see that. But what about thinking that maybe he's already in the room? That Jesus is already waiting for you wherever you might be headed," in other words. It's a subtle difference, right? It's not a huge earth-shattering moment. But the more I've thought about it, this was almost 9 years ago, the more I've thought about it is that it's got a profound understanding of Jesus, right? Like, my answer was a little bit more of like, in the box. Jesus is with me. I got my red backpack and I packed my little Jesus in there and off I go. And everywhere I go, or your briefcase or your prayer book or anything else, right? Everywhere you go, you got your little Jesus and you just set him down and you do stuff. Whereas the other one says, Jesus' power is so great that it's far outside of the box. You don't know if he's in the curtains or laying in the hospital bed or in the loo or where he is, right? And that Jesus' power is so much greater than we could ever imagine, that it's not in a box, in other words. So where's Jesus for you? Is Jesus in the box? Or is he out of the box? The gospel today is shattering in its presentation of Jesus. Because here we have Jesus, who begins this passage, as you hear, with sort of a standard operating procedure of grace and mercy. Right? So he's dissed by the Samaritans. The Samaritans don't like Jesus' kind anyway, right? And there was a story not too long ago about this time in first century Palestine where they actually, the Samaritans took the bones of the Jews and spread them into the sanctuary in Jerusalem, right? So there's a lot of anger, and they see this guy's just another rabbi, another teacher. We're not going to, and he's headed towards Jerusalem. So they've got no use for him. So James and John do what you would hope. They're like, "Lord, bring down the heavy guns on them," right? Let's go street brawl with them, and let's take them down. And what does Jesus do, predictably? He says, "Don't. Leave them alone." In other words, love your enemies, right? Just let your enemies go. Don't attack them. So this is the part of the box that we really like about Jesus, isn't it? At least I do. This is a very nice fit. And I wish in many ways that the gospel passage would have ended right there. It'd be a lot easier if you heard what was after that. But it doesn't end. And that's not the end of Jesus' journey on the way to Jerusalem. And then we have a series of three interactions. The first guy says, "I'll follow Jesus." And Jesus comes back with this just not sure what to do statement, right? Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Don't you wish you could just rattle off sentences like that to people? Be like, "Across the street it's blue, and I'm going to go down the street," or something. I mean, you can just like say things, and people are like, "Oh." So what's he saying? I mean, he's giving you this image of the box, in other words. If you look at that first half of his sentence, foxes do have holes, right? That's what they do. I've got beagles that are trained to run in those holes. And birds of the air have nests. And so, in other words, that's the box. It's the box. It's sort of a conditional. It's what just happens in the world. And these next two interactions take us deep into a foxhole, where Jesus asks someone to follow him. But the stranger, this gal, has a pretty good excuse. "I got to go bury my dad." And then we see a little bit of mean Jesus here. And Jesus says, "Let the dead bury the dead." What? What is that? Who doesn't go and bury their family members? That's part of the box, too. It's just what we do. And then somebody pops out of the bush, maybe, another stranger, and says, I'll follow you. And he calls them Lord again. So we know they know who Jesus is. And this person offers a little caveat. They just say, I got to go home to say goodbye. I'm getting ready to go on vacation. A little bit excited. But before I left my house this morning, what did I do? I said goodbye to Ashley. Right? This is what you do. And Jesus is like, you don't do that. Not in the kingdom of God. Jesus rebukes the guy. No grace, no mercy. No burial for the father and no goodbyes to the home. So has Jesus run out of grace? Has he run out of grace? No. No way. But the box does run out of grace. Because the box is cold and it's unmerciful. It's conditional in how it approaches life. A box becomes a formula, in other words. And it becomes like a right angle meets a right angle. It has rules and regulations. It has a certain sort of logic of the world to it. And it's a logic that simply says all foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests. It's a logic that says that you bury your loved ones and that you say goodbye before you leave home. It's the deep logic that makes the world go round, in other words. It's our box. It's what we do. But the box is limited in its power. That's what Jesus is getting at. We can see this the most even in churches sometimes. Churches are in the most danger, in other words, of getting in this box with Jesus. A friend in North Carolina once told me that they had moved to a small town outside of Raleigh, and they started going to the local Episcopal church. And his fiance was Episcopalian, and he had been a few times to different churches, and he liked it. So they started going to this Episcopal church. And towards the end of their fourth visit there, they were like, we're going to ask the rector today if we can talk to them about marriage. And so they got up, and towards the end, they nervously went over and said, we're engaged, and we would love to talk to you about a wedding, either here or we've even got some locations that we'd like to do. What's our next steps? And this minister said, are you baptized? Are you Episcopalians? And the fiance said, yeah, we're both baptized and I'm an Episcopalian. And then the minister then said, great, get your paperwork together and meet me this coming week. So they were like, okay. They got in the car, and my friend looked at his fiance and said, paperwork. And the fiance said, I don't know what he was talking about. And so they got married by judge a couple weeks later. It's a sad story, right? It's a sad story. Who needs the paperwork? I don't have paperwork. Well, I do have paperwork, but... I hope you all don't have paperwork.
No, I have paperwork.
People have paperwork. But the point is, the box, right, is that it's this jarring incident. It's jarring. But we're so quick to put everything inside of that box. You got to have X on your resume to get Y. And Jesus is making it clear, crystal clear, in this gospel today that there is no box in the kingdom of God. Jesus shatters this logic because Jesus' logic is not the logic of the world. He is, after all, the Son of Man. He's fully God and fully human. And so what that means is that Jesus doesn't operate inside of a box. He can create out of nothing. He can create outside of the box. There was a great article in the Wall Street Journal this past week about Toy Story, about the franchise. And it talked about the very first Toy Story that Pixar put together. And it said it was the first time that a film was created out of nothing. They started with a computer. And then they generated all the animation from it. Well, that's the way Jesus, that's the way God can work. He doesn't need any rules and regulations. He doesn't need the box to operate. He just needs himself. It's all he needs. So Jesus is outside of the box. Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. That's how we hear the second part of that poignant sentence. The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head, meaning he's not in the box. He's outside of it. And this response is even more telling because it just so directly contrasts with the way of the world. And that's why the gospel is good news for us, and that it doesn't follow the box. It doesn't follow any prescription or conditionality. Look at the three major moments of Jesus' life. Think about them for a second. And then think about nowhere to lay his head. What Jesus is telling us is who he really is. He was born of a human, a virgin mother, in an inn that didn't have any room for him to lay his head, except out of the box in a manger. When Jesus died, he was not laying in a bed or on the ground, but his head was hanging on a cross. And when he was buried, and they finally gave him a place to lay his head, God worked once again and resurrected him out of the tomb, out of the box, and onto the throne with God. Now, as painful as that previous illustration and jarring as it was about church, there, I read about another one this week that shows us what the good news really looks like. Arnardo was an atheist who quit his investment banking job and decided to explore the faith of folks living on the streets in the South Bronx. He began taking pictures and visiting with drug addicts and prostitutes, the lame, the lost, the least. He actually put it all together into a book that's now out called Dignity. And he discovered the limits of the box. He didn't use the box language, but what he wrote is, the cold secular world of goodwill and meaning, intentions, and rules lead to destruction for everybody over time. All of them require different things. And as I kept watching these requirements, I was an atheist that discovered the Church of Jesus. And when he discovered the church, he wrote about it like this. Churches don't require having your paperwork in order. They don't require proper ID. They don't require getting grilled about this or that. They just say, come in as you are. They let forgiveness wash over you as you watch and participate in the liturgy. In other words, you are welcome as long as you're just there. The churches, I've come to understand the streets and human nature, that everybody sins and everybody fails. Churches work out of society, out of the box of society. And that's the good news, is that our salvation doesn't come in a box. It comes on a cross, unconditionally and freely given to us. Amen.
Amen.